All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing on a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects? It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. Hope you're fastening your seatbelts and ready to take us along for the ride. For the next 3 hours, we will be kicking it up, talking a little bit about sports and other things. What's up, fellas?
What up?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Dude,
feeling good. I'm in a good mood.
Nick, that's a warning. He feels good.
You don't
He's
want
in
the
a
smoke
good mood.
Today. You don't want the smoke today, Nick. I'm going to tell you right now.
If you're feeling good, why would you follow it up
like,
by
feisty.
Saying...
I'm in a good mood. I'm feisty. Feel like I'm in the zone.
Okay.
I don't want none of your crap.
All right.
No, I slept for like 12 hours.
I
am at a level right now that I haven't been in a long time.
Did you drink like a half a bottle of NyQuil or what did you do?
No, I took a sleeping pill about 8:30. And I woke up at about 10 this morning.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
I'm on like, woo. I'm feeling nice. So, whatever. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Barry Feels Good Experience. Let's keep it that way, Nick. Because I thought right away you'd be like, oh, I can fix this in about 30 seconds.
One of us will get underneath his skin by one.
Yeah, one of y'all will piss me off.
Don't sell it short now. It could be you. It could be me.
Right.
Or it could be the cast of thousands that like to chime in on Twitter and
Man,
text message.
Be nice.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't read text today. Maybe I should just avoid the text line. But there's too many listeners that we like that text the show to do that to, so I won't do that. I don't think there's anybody that can ruin my mood today, but I'm sure they'll try. So
inevitably, they always
do. Of course.
Do.
Of yes. course.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. So anything I missed, obviously you missed the inside of your eyelids for a long period
of
time.
Yeah, I fell asleep during the Astros game. I didn't watch any basketball, but you know what? It was kind of one of those things where I just had to go to sleep. Like, I just hadn't been sleeping, so.
What about you, Haas?
I watched a little bit of basketball, and I was actually thinking about like our next movie. Like, I'm looking forward to our next movie review.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Good, because I don't either.
Well, you're supposed to be the one to come up with it.
But
so whenever you're ready. I mean, I'm just saying.
But how's that
going to
work? Because I'm out Monday, too.
Well,
we
would
just move it.
So just do it to Tuesday?
Yeah, whenever
you're
back.
For that 1 week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I gave you, I sent you guys a rundown of the top movies on Netflix right now.
Yeah, I didn't even look at that yet. Are there any good ones?
Well, there's some, you know, I just don't want any sports movies. I want to make that perfectly clear. I just sent you choices that, you know, that you may or may not have gone through.
Let's open that up right now. Roma. So Nick can't read, so that's out.
That is so...
like...
Right?
It's
that was
all
1 minute.
Nick, I take back everything I said. All bets are off. You can go at him.
Yep, that's it.
No.
It's done.
No.
It's done.
No. No, it's all subtitles. Do you really want to watch a 2-hour movie with subtitles?
I don't, honestly.
Okay.
I really don't.
Do you think the listeners, half of our listeners also can't read?
That's See. Nice.
There's See. No way that I'm going to pick
that's
a movie.
I really do hope you read the text line now.
That's a way to kill all kinds of positives we have going for us with the list.
There's no way that I would, if I picked a movie that had subtitles, that our listeners would be on board with this movie club. They would be like, Barry, you suck. The movie club sucks. And for that reason, I'm out. They're not going to do it. So I can't do Roma. Plus, I think Nick does struggle to read a little bit. And you don't know Spanish, right?
The only movie that I've ever been convinced to watch with subtitles was Ip Man, IP Man.
Oh, yeah. Is it Ip or IP?
I don't know.
I don't
but
either.
That's the only movie. And it was a decent movie.
I think it's Ip Man. That was, I'm not doing that. All right. Coco?
Pass.
Yeah, that
it's
doesn't
musical.
Look. Yeah, it's a cartoon musical at that. So it says... You should queue up West Side Story if you liked it. So I'm definitely out on all that as well. Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Pass.
Well, you don't get to pick. Definitely.
You want me to come in with the exact opposite mood of you?
Definitely on the list. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. So this is a comedy western that's a bunch of vignettes. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
I know Nick doesn't know what a vignette is. But yeah, so it's kind of like that. I'll be honest with you. I've already seen it. I think you would hate it, and I think half of our listeners would hate it. But I enjoyed it. But yeah, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, definitely not on the list. Zodiac, pretty good, but I've seen it. That's too old. 2007.
I've seen it too. Really good.
Yeah, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, 2009. I don't think that's going to happen.
Animated.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. See, those are all old. I want something fresh and current. All the President's Men from 76.
Well, yeah, Private Life.
City of God, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm not doing that. Oh!
What?
Here it is. I got it. This is it. Say no more, fam. We have a winner. Oh, well, no, I keep looking. There's more. We have a two-way tie right now.
Okay.
Between Animal House.
Oh, Nick, that would be perfect for you.
And Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
I'm down with Animal House.
Good thing y'all don't get to pick.
Just a legendary film.
Have you not seen Animal House?
I don't think he has.
I haven't seen it
all. Yeah,
because
y'all killed me for it.
You haven't either?
No, I haven't. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness.
But you haven't seen Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail,
have you? I've never been a fan. I've seen plenty of Monty Python. I've just never been a fan.
Have you seen Quest for the Holy Grail?
No.
Nick, have you ever watched a Monty Python movie? This is from 1975.
Yeah, they're hard to watch, man.
Nick is shaking his head. He's busy, but he's like, bro, I hate you if you pick that. I'm just telling you right now. The top three on my list for the movie club for the week is Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Animal House, and The Last Jedi. That's what we're talking top three right now.
Oh, boy, I'm finding sports movies for all three
that's fine.
Of our choices.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, I
or
wouldn't
worse.
Expect I
or
wouldn't
worse.
Expect anything else.
Basketball
from
or something. I just
oh yeah.
On.
You please pick Hoosiers.
No,
so everyone can make fun of you that whole week.
No.
Here's what Bonnie and Clyde is on the list. I know that would get, like, you know, Nick would get a chub from that, but it's from 1967.
Oh, the original.
Yeah, can't do that. Mm-hmm. So I think I've narrowed it down to my top three. Speaking of movies, real quick, mm-hmm. I got to give a shout out to Demetrius. My guy Demetrius, whoops, just threw that over there.
Throwing stuff all over
my guy
place.
Demetrius. I won't go into details. But I just want to say that there are good listeners and there are great listeners. And then there are just guys like Demetrius that just come through in the clutch for you. He sent us a nice little care package. And it included some stuff that we've discussed that is going to help me on the road trip. And
yep.
then he included some stuff
yes,
for Taylor as well. And,
yep.
Of course, can't go into detail. But, man, Demetrius, thank you so much, man.
Appreciate
it was very
you.
Very thoughtful of you. To send all that over to Joel and myself. So much appreciated, man.
Yeah, no question about that. And
big time. Big time in the clutch.
Anybody else just wants to send us care packages of positivity, no. We're here for you.
Yeah, man, that was really cool. I wish I could go into detail what it was because it was pretty cool. But shout out to Demetrius. Also, shout out to AR Platinum. For my YouTube has been blowing up again. He apparently mentioned one of my videos and... It took off again. So, man, we got some of the best listeners on the planet.
We really do. And the numbers back it up.
Yeah.
So that's always good to see as well. So we appreciate you guys being suspects. And with that being said, of course, there's always the open avenue to reach us during the portions of the show that we are on the air. 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also reach us via Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And at Barry is funny. Obviously, we will have plenty to talk about sports-wise today.
Steelers fan wants that. I could always call him piss Barry off. Yeah, that's probably true.
Not an inaccurate statement.
Is Barry's divorce about to be final? Okay, you know what? You're going to have to let that one go. That joke has run its course. Someone just spelled my name B-E-R-R-I-E, so they're blocked.
They're trying.
And here we go. I should have just stayed out of the text line.
They are trying.
But somebody suggested Highwaymen. For our movie.
We already... What?
Exactly. Exactly.
That was my pick, sir.
Exactly.
Did you just text the show?
I did not.
Black Summer. I've not heard of Black Summer. What is Black Summer? Sounds racist.
Know.
It sounds like a racist movie.
Yeah.
I'm not... I don't know what that is. So far, though, I'm
White
sorry.
Winter is the sequel.
That's your top three, though. I'm sticking with that as my top three right now. If I get a better suggestion, I'll consider it. But right now... It's The Last Jedi. Because part of it is just a torture
Joel. Yeah, The Last Jedi. How long is that? And, I mean, I've told you the Star Wars movies that I've seen in the past, and they were years and years and years ago. I'm not into all that, man. I think I'll have Michael Carroll sit in for me on that one.
No, you don't get to do that.
Yes, this I do.
Joel, if we have to watch your dumbass movies, you have to watch ours.
The good thing was my dumbass movie was only 41 minutes long as opposed to a three-hour extravaganza. Blah.
Mine wasn't that long. It was just over 2 hours.
Yeah, yours was long.
Two hours of what?
I'm just saying, guys, can we ever do something as a family?
No.
I will turn this show around right now and take us all home if we don't get along. Now, it's one movie. It's not going to kill you to watch a Last Jedi movie.
For 3 hours?
It's not a three-hour movie,
Look
Joel.
At it. How long?
I don't know. Let's see. If it's 3 hours, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. You ain't going to be the only one.
It is runtime.
Go ahead. Let them know.
2 hours and 33 minutes. I would like the record to reflect that is not 3 hours.
I knew anything short of 2:59. You were going to make sure it was clearly stated.
And that is 2 hours and 33 minutes, not 3 hours. So, I mean, that's a good half hour less.
It's still a good half a day. Come on, man.
Let's see. How long is Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Hour and a half. 1 hour and 32 minutes, which is pretty standard for a movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think 90 minutes was standard for a movie.
How long is Animal House? Because that was an old school movie, so I would say that's probably a shorter film than recent movies.
Animal House, hour 49.
Okay.
So guess what?
What?
We're not doing Animal House.
Super.
Do you know why? Because you've seen Animal House.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but it's a great movie.
No, but two of us have not seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Leader
so
in the clubhouse.
You're going to pick a movie that you've seen.
Yeah, because I want you guys to watch it and share the joy.
No, that's
with me.
Because you're being lazy and you don't want to watch it.
And then you don't have
to
watch it. Absolutely right, Nick. Boom, right there.
That's what it is.
I think there should be a prerequisite rule that we have to watch something.
Yeah,
that
we
need to
start installing some rules on this movie.
All three of us.
Because Barry's just
going to
start making up rules as he goes.
Time out. I saw Joel's movie. No one, but I even told you I'd already seen it, and you guys didn't seem to care. I watched that movie 2 years ago when it came out.
You got too much time.
It's only an hour and a half.
That's my point. This is okay. Take your pick. It's either the 2.5 hour.
But you're still being lazy.
Or Monty Python. I'm not. I want you guys to watch Monty Python. I feel like you would really like this.
I hate it.
You don't watch it. How do you know?
I said I've watched them. I haven't watched all of these. I've watched Monty Python the show over the years. I've seen some of the movies in bits and pieces and be like, it's not that funny. But okay.
Oh my. Well, I'm sorry. There's no dad jokes in Monty
Is
Python.
There a button?
Maybe
hey,
that's
if you
why.
Got a Benny Hill marathon, we can watch that.
Maybe that's why you don't like it, because they don't do any dad jokes
Damn
in Monty
right.
Python.
Mix it up. Get some real content.
If there was a dad joke movie, Joel, you would totally pick that, wouldn't you?
No, but I'd consider it. It'd be in my top three. All right, we're just getting started. If you want to join the show, you know how to reach us. As we get rolling, of course, it's more coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects. It's right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, segment number two. Rolling and underway. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday in the big city. When are you leaving? I didn't realize it was this week. When are you leaving for El Paso?
After the show Wednesday.
Okay, so Wednesday way back night. Wednesday tomorrow, fellas. Again,
yes.
We're going to need a theme.
And I don't have a list this time, so no bitching and whining if I still get it in first. Well, that sounded inappropriate.
Nick, you can save that at any time.
So essentially,
during the show, when the ideas come in, I expect you to be typing diligently with each idea to construct a temporary list for each.
This list of 50 movies on Netflix right now, there's some solid, there's some solid all-time greats on this list. Have you had a chance to even look at it?
I looked at some
like
of it.
Like classics,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah. Like No Country for Old Men.
Can I remind you something that someone tweeted us in the process? The Bundy movie comes out Friday.
The Bundy movie.
The Ted Bundy movie. On Netflix, which is basically, it looks pretty good.
I think I saw that already.
No, I saw the documentary that was on ABC.
That's what I was thinking, maybe.
But this is the actual movie where, what's the little teen heartthrob actor, but he actually plays Ted Bundy and he actually looks like him. I'll find it. It actually looks like a good movie. Let's
okay.
put it that way.
I will.
Zac
Efron. There you go.
He's a teen heartthrob?
Oh, God. Chicks dig him.
Really?
Yeah.
Him and Nick. Nick's a teen heartthrob. No Country for Old Men is on the list. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Nick?
Nope.
Really? Boy. Maybe that's one to add if you guys haven't seen it. It's a legit good movie. But there were some older, like Schindler's List. I've not seen that.
I haven't either, but you talk about a long movie.
Is Schindler's List long?
Yes. Yes, indeed it is.
Nick, have you seen Schindler's List?
I feel like I have, but I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
I almost curse every time I say it. 3 hours and 17 minutes. Holy hell, that is not going to make the list.
Told you.
That is way too long for a movie. That's like, yeah, that's way too long. But then I also saw, where did it go? There was Schindler's List. There was Silence of the Lambs, one of my all-time favorite movies.
Silence of the Lambs is fantastic.
The scene with the night vision goggles, one of the creepiest, scariest things in a movie to me.
There's just so many different scenes you can reference. And it's every really time, good. When you, hello, Clarice.
Oh, boy. The Graduate. From 1968, I hear that's a good movie. Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, yeah.
Yeah, but then Jaws is on here. Can I confess I've never seen Jaws?
You haven't?
No.
Oh, wow.
I've definitely seen Jaws.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Liar.
I have. I've absolutely seen Jaws.
Really?
Yeah. They would replay that over and over and over again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I haven't seen Jaws. Mudbound is on here, which was really good. I did see that. Kill Bill Volume 1, Kill Bill Volume 2 was good. Mudbound was good, but it's newer. It was on Netflix. It's about like a sharecropper and it's a black family and a white family, and it involves sharecropping, and it was pretty interesting. It's about race, basically. Okay. But it was pretty interesting. This one I think might be good. Why tu mama también? I think it's about like sex. I don't know. It just starts off, it says it sounds like the setup for an 80s sex comedy.
Okay.
I'm in. So, yeah, there's some good ones, though, man. Netflix has some stuff. Ooh! And the last one, A Clockwork Orange.
Never seen it.
What? Nicholas? Ever seen A Clockwork Orange? Where he has the one fake eyebrow?
Nope.
Oh. Mm-mm. That's a classic. I should make y'all watch that just because it's so creepy. How long is that one? Let's see. There's a lot to choose from this week. This is a good list, Joel.
You're welcome.
You did your homework.
Yeah.
Let's see. A Clockwork Orange is 2 hours and 17 minutes. That's a long time. All right, I'll figure it out. We're going to have a good movie this week, though. Plenty to choose from.
And we're extending the deadline, right?
No. Tuesday. Yeah, for sure. Okay. And then we also need a Way Back Wednesday suggestion, so figure that out.
Okay, peeps, have at it.
Yep.
So that'll help us a lot. Obviously, the talk around town, fellas, as much as I predicted when I tried to downplay the emotions that would be raging in game two when I said be prepared for either Scott Foster, Mark Davis, or Tony Brothers to be officiating that game. And, of course, when we found out this morning Scott Foster is indeed calling game two, it sent people ballistically losing their mind.
Yeah, and I don't know why, because I don't feel like this is something that the NBA chose last night.
They didn't.
This is decided well in advance.
At the start of a series, the officiating assignments are decided 4 games out. So the first 4 games are decided. And then the teams will start to look at other referees doing other series, other games to try and figure it out for themselves. But the announcement doesn't come until the morning of that game.
Yeah.
The fact that you got Scott Foster and you want a conspiracy theorist craziness go nuts and say, well, they picked that right after game one to make sure they sent another message.
Not true.
They did not do that.
Although it is a weird thing when you know that the tension between Scott Foster and the Rockets exists because the players have come out and said it. Chris Paul, I mean, if you recall the last time he reffed a Rockets game, it was awful. And they said after the game, we don't know what it's going to take to get a fair shake from him. Chris Paul said, I've met with the league. I've done everything. I don't know what else to do. I'm at a loss for words. And they kind of left it at that. And I don't think he's reffed a game since of theirs.
He has not.
But now the first time he's going to ref since then is in a playoff game against the Warriors following one of the biggest, most controversial, whether you believe it or not, but it's just the talk of the town as far as refereeing goes. So it's an unfortunate coincidence, but this could also play into the Rockets' hand. I mean, he might be on pins and needles. He might be like, oh, boy, you know what? Maybe I do have to give him a little leeway.
Here's the biggest thing. I think because one of the things I tweeted was what you missed was one of the other officials in the three that are going to be calling the game tonight is Ed Malloy. Ed Malloy is one of the guys that will take literally, he's like a little Joey Crawford, but he will take no conversation. He will take no berating officials. And he will quickly tee you up with little to no conversation. So one thing you're knowing with these two guys on the call tonight is they are going to clean it up in a hurry in terms of the excessive abuse on the officials berating calls. Now, the other thing that's going to be interesting is, as I told you, to be prepared for, I think the league's going to do a 180. They're going to watch everything around the three-point line so closely that everybody's going to have to adjust their game, but it's going to come down to what you want it to come down to, and that is those that are making their shots are going to have the advantage. If James is making his three, he shouldn't be contested to have to endure what he endured in game one. He should be just fine. If Golden State is making their shots, they should be as well. But it's coming down to taking out a lot of the minutia and just letting the play on the floor decide who wins the game.
That's the thing, is you can talk all you want about bad refereeing and missed calls and this, that, and the other. And at the end of the day, there were plenty of missed shots left on the floor by both sides. The Rockets, if they make two of their threes, they win that game. Two of their missed threes, they win that game. And they had some open looks that they missed. So you can't necessarily blame that. If you maybe prevent the Warriors from getting a couple of offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter, you have a chance to win that game. So you can't say that the officials cost the Rockets the game. My point, and I made the meme with the refs up 1-0, but my whole point about it was and is and continues to be they're going to get James hurt if they don't call that landing.
You're right.
And that's the big thing for me. It's not that they missed a hit on the wrist or a foul in the lane or anything like that. The last thing you want, though, is for James Harden to get hurt. And that's why you have to make that call to put a stop to that, because obviously it didn't stop. So the whole Scott Foster thing, yes, it sucks. Yes, it's not great for them. But you know what? At the end of the day, you still got to go out and play, and there's still a chance to win that game. It's not like they've lost every Scott Foster game they've ever played in. That's just not the case. The as far as fouls, yeah. I mean, wait to see what the foul calls are. Let's not just jump to conclusions and assume it's going to be bad, because trust me, the league is aware of it too. They know.
No doubt.
And Scott Foster is aware of it. Now, does he want to be an a-hole about it, or does he want to say, look, I'm not as bad as y'all think, and maybe eat his whistle a little bit? We'll have to find out.
That I think, in a sick way, this really favors the Rockets. I said that. As much as it was tough to swallow in what happened in game one, I really believe it's going to change how the Rockets fans see what's going on and how the game's called game two, and maybe further down through the series. I think because of the fact, like you said, the league is very aware of the fact that they've been put on blast for calls.
Mm-hmm.
They've had to come and eat a little crow and put it all out there. And you've had everybody questioning every element within this game, and it had nothing to do with, like you said, who made more shots, who made more plays, who executed down the stretch. It was all about calls not made, and what was a foul versus constituted and what wasn't. So I think that as tough as it is to swallow, I think this is a good thing for the Rockets tonight. And I think that it's going to come down to now you just have to make your shots. You got to make more threes, Eric Gordon and James Harden, than 8 of 29.
Yeah.
You know, as a team, you've got to shoot a better percentage for the amount of threes that you take. But it should take a bunch of the crap out of it. And I think it should go the Rockets' way in terms of getting the calls that are justified that they did not get in that game.
Word up. Hey, let's talk travel for a second. Most of us travel a little bit, if not a lot. I know I'm on the road quite a bit. And how are you booking your hotel rooms? I've got a suggestion for you. If you're not using besthotelrates.com, you should definitely check it out. Besthotelrates.com, what they do is they go out and they negotiate special rates. And they've done that with over 600,000 hotels worldwide. And then they pass those discounts and those savings on to you. It couldn't be easier or simple. I mean, you just go to besthotelrates.com. You plug in your destination, the dates of travel. You give it a second. And then you're looking at discounted rates from hotels you probably already going to stay at. So why pay the extra money? Save your money. Book through besthotelrates.com. They've got top-notch customer service. They back up your reservations. Your stay safe. It's secure. You don't have to worry about anything. It's in the name. It's besthotelrates.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go. Wherever you may be in the big city, work, play, or otherwise, on a Tuesday, it's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio, chopping it up. Started to open up a little Rockets discussion ahead of game two tonight. Late one. Boy, you sleepyhead. You better be prepared to stay up late tonight.
What time does it start?
9:30.
Oh, that sucks.
And with all the calls that are going to be made, you're going to be up till at least 1 a.m.
Actually, that's not bad, because I'll be out in the yard until dark. And usually I have to cut it short and come in or watch and be behind.
Yeah, but all you got to do is flip a switch. The stadium lights come on, and then you can work until midnight.
I do have headlights on my mower.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, stadium lights around the perimeter.
My lawnmower has headlights. It's okay. A riding mower. And somebody asked me, like, do you ever mow at night? I mean, there's times where I'll be mowing and it gets dark. I'll turn them on. But, no, I don't go out and mow in the middle of the night. But, yeah, that's a
your
real
neighbors,
thing.
Your neighbors, if they were close enough, would hate you.
I'm sure they would. Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually trying to look up right now. Somebody said that the Rockets have lost the last six games that Scott Foster has refereed when he's been the referee. So I know on basketballreference.com that they list information about referees. So I'm looking that up as we speak.
Okay.
So I will get that information, I hope.
Well, all you got to do is go to Twitter accounts of other people on the air in this market, and you can find out every bit of information you need to know about Scott Foster and bashing and him being associated with Tim Donaghy, the referee that was sent to jail.
Oh, really? Is that a thing? Was he associated with him?
Supposedly, he made more calls to Scott Foster than he did to his bookie.
What?
Yeah. And then, like I said, the track record is also there. Scott Foster, as you said, as you mentioned, hasn't called a Rockets game since I think it was in February, the altercation in which after the game, Harden and Chris Paul were adamant that, look, Scott Foster just has it out for us. Harden said he shouldn't ref another one of our games. I believe a meeting then took place at the league office in which Chris Paul was present. I believe Foster was present. And they were trying to get to the bottom of some of this to try and weed it out. But again, for whatever reason, and whether it was based on the results of that meeting or not, he hasn't called a game since that involved the Houston Rockets. And now here we go.
Well, I mean, they kind of don't have a choice, right? The referees are, the pool is limited, and you can't start selecting, well, this referee for this game. Because if once you start that precedence, I would imagine it's somewhat random, right?
It's a slippery slope, but it's also based on ratings and reviews that the league keeps internal. They keep an internal checklist and ratings and grade for every official on every game, on every call. And then they take through all the regular season results, and they delineate who's going to make the playoff grade and who's not. And then amongst the pool of playoff referees, they then start doling out assignments per series. And I would say that as a referee, you have to do as many Eastern Conference games as you do Western Conference games. You can't do just one or two of the same teams. You have to get a variety of teams. So I've obviously he's run the gamut. He made the grade to be a playoff referee. So that tells you at some point he's going to show up at a Rockets game.
I don't know. I feel like I know some people think that the league has it in.
You do.
For the Rockets. I just don't believe that's the case.
It is not.
I think if you're one of those fans, it's like they don't like us and they're doing this on purpose. I think you're living in a delusional world.
I think you're right.
And that is not the case at all.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that, you know, like I said, when you look at this entire situation, you can look at it as the sky is falling. But I think that, you know what, the message was sent loud and clear. Whether it's a good look, bad look, because of the fact that the story broke yesterday about the Rockets bitching about losing Game 7 on calls. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, because it was the main storyline coming out of Game 1, and again, because Foster's calling Game 2, whether you like him or not, he's going to keep it close to the vest, but they're going to pay special attention to James Harden and the Rockets shooting threes and both teams. And I think that what you're going to get is a more tightly called on both ends game by the officials. I think they're going to take zero, which is in the Rockets' favor, zero guff from the players, which means Draymond's probably going to get teed up.
Oh, God, I hope so.
And I think you're going to eliminate a lot of the minutia. And like I said, now you just got to go play ball and you got to make your shots. And if James is making his shots, that's advantage Rockets.
That's the big thing is you can blame it all on, you know, the refs if you want. But again, they had plenty of opportunities.
They did.
And they didn't take advantage of them. So I feel like we're kind of beat. I saw somebody tweet about, oh, all Houston sports talk has been about is referees. Well, I hate to break it to you, but that was a pretty important component of that's how sports talk works. So if you're sick of referee talk, trust me, we all are, but that's just how it works. I mean, you talk about what's going on.
So, and again, I firmly
don't
believe
we have to belabor it, but
Chris
it's
Paul
be a topic.
Got fined $35,000, but he didn't get suspended for game two. And I think advantage Rockets. I think if the officiating isn't the overriding tone from game one, I think Chris Paul gets suspended for game two because of the contact.
Could be.
But I think that because of, like you said, conspiracy theorists who think that it's all fixed, it would be the easy out for the league to say, well, he's suspended for game two, and then think about how bad a look that is.
Yeah.
Well, not only did the officials screw the Rockets in game one, but we're going to take away their second best player in game two, deal with it. I don't think they could do that. That's why Chris Paul's in this game tonight.
I would make an argument that the storyline of, from a national perspective, where they're just saying, well, this whole deal is, this is the reason why the Rockets fan base is delusional and angry about something they shouldn't be. That's just as much of a storyline than as, you know, Houston sports talk radio talking about referees as well. Like, the national media wanted to talk about the referees too. It wasn't just Houston sports talk.
And they continue to talk about it, right? It's all over ESPN. And again, like I said, it's not helping the Rockets' case that this story broke about this long report that they sent in about Game 7 last year regarding the Warriors. And it's like, that's a bad look for the franchise. Stop whining about the officials. You have justification to be pissed off because of some of the calls in the first game. But that's a bad look going back to a series that's already been decided and say we would have won the championship and that we got screwed. Just don't do that.
No.
So before we get, you know, rolling on anything else, Troy wants to get in here, talk Rockets. Troy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up, man?
Hey, this is just my opinion, and maybe you guys will agree with me, but I've heard you guys say it before. Don't let three judges determine the outcome of a fight. Quit moaning, and don't let the referees determine the outcome of a basketball game. Go out there, play ball, take care of your business, transition on defense, and make your shots. I'm out.
I like it.
Good call, Troy. Very good call. Bounce back well.
I finally found the record. This was on Reddit.
Okay.
Scott Foster versus the Rockets, 2017 to 2019. The Rockets are 9-9 in their last 18 games with Scott as a referee. The Rockets were 3-3 in 2016-2017, 5-5 in 2017-2018, and 1-1 in 2018-2019. Rockets have a 9-3 record in the regular season while they're 0-6 during the playoffs. So, out of these playoffs, none appear to be a result of blatant unfair officiating against the Rockets. Instead, the Rockets, the losses are due to impressive performances and the inability to make a few three-pointers. So, essentially what this is saying is in the regular season, they're 9-3.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, they're 0-6 when Scott Foster referees. So, okay.
But let's keep it real.
That
if
sucks.
Clint Capella shows up and puts up some decent numbers, advantage Rockets. Okay, if like we mentioned, if Gordon and Harden shoot a good percentage from three, advantage Rockets. They just have to play their game. Get out and transition. Like Chris Paul said yesterday after practice, play faster. Play to their tempo that gives them the best chance to win, and then let the cards fall where they may.
So, let's see. He reffed two playoff games in 2018.
What? No, I'm just go ahead.
I'm just wanted to break this down. Two playoff games against the Warriors in 2018, they lost both. He reffed a Warriors game in the regular season in 2017, and they won it by 1 point. So if you're just curious about him and the Warriors and the Rockets, they're 1-2, and in the playoffs, they're 0-2.
I got a feeling the Rockets are going to win this game tonight because of all of this.
Okay.
But I'll say it goes one of two ways. The Rockets win a close game, or they get their ass blown out.
I'm thinking blowout.
Okay. We'll see. Nick?
I don't know. I don't think the Rockets win. I don't know if it's a blowout. I think the Golden State Warriors win, but I don't believe it's necessarily going to be a blowout.
Okay. There you have it. All right. We'll continue to roll on. Lots more to get to and lots more to talk about. It's Astros in a tough one last night in a pitcher's duel where the bats just kind of went as cold as the weather. We can talk about that. We've got Texans talk. We've got all kinds of things on the agenda. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, throw it our way. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Hour 1 version of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. As we continue to like to thank you and give back to you the suspects that keep us rolling along here on ESPN 97.5, we want to let you know that the station, along with Revention Music Center, want to send you to see the rock band Dream Theaters, the Distance Over Time Tour, tonight. That's right. This evening. That means if you're available and you can go, pay attention. If you can't, don't worry about it because it's tonight. The group is celebrating 20 years of Metropolis Part 2, Scenes from a Memory, tonight at 8 p.m. at the Revention Music Theater. Right now, caller number 11, 713-780-3776, wins a pair of tickets to see this show tonight. Again, because it's tonight, your name is going to be on a will call list at the Revention Music Theater. So therefore, you are not going to need to pick them up the tickets at the station, but you have to be able to use them. So try and win them right now if you can go. 713-780-3776, caller number 11.
Somebody said, Barry, we were talking earlier about Demetrius and AR Platinum being outstanding listeners and always give it back to us. And somebody said, Barry, I'm a great listener because I buy y'all fireball shots while I'm on location. So
true.
There is that. And then we have a couple of Wayback Wednesday suggestions. One of them was songs about crying or complaining. And I really, really like that idea.
I'm going to say I hate the idea.
Why?
For very, very good reasons. Because if I like it now, your list is going to be done at 2:15. Fact of the matter. That's just a fact.
What if I promise I won't do the list or start at least until 4 o'clock?
Like either one of us, Nick or myself, would buy into that, believe it, and go, oh, yeah, sure, then done deal.
Well, I mean, it's not like you're going to stop me anyways.
Right. You buying it, Nick? Are you buying what he's putting up selling?
So you don't want to pick until the end of the show? Is that what you're saying?
We'll use that right now as a suggestion we will consider.
I really like, because Jesse from Spring also said,
the fact that you really like it makes me really hate it.
Jesse from Spring, also songs about whining. I like it because it's topical. Mm-hmm. Like the crying, and I mean, it could be songs that have the word cry, doves cry.
Yeah.
It could be, the, you know, anything about whining, crying, or has those words in it.
Can it just be a Chris Isaac song because he whines in every song?
And
yeah, that one is exactly what came to mind. We don't care if you don't want to fall in love, Chris. Just don't whine and hold a note for like 8 seconds on it.
God. Somebody said, Justin from Port Arthur said, how about intertwine the Wayback Wednesday with the movie of the week somehow? I don't know how we would make that work.
We don't know what the movie is yet. Let's not rush. Let's not get.
We can watch Boys Don't Cry.
Let's not put the cart in front of the horses, okay?
Well, what if we did songs about whining and crying and watch Boys Don't Cry as the movie of the week?
No.
Okay. It's fine.
You sure?
Hmm.
Okay. News of the day, Greg Popovich is expected to sign a 3-year extension to stay at the helm of the Spurs. So El Jefe and the San Antonio contingent that listens to the show will be pleased about that.
There you go.
The Colts have bolstered their running back position because, gang, even though the draft is over, there are free agents out there, i.e. Brian Gain and otherwise. Pay attention. Spencer Ware, who had a couple of productive years with the Chiefs, is now joining the Colts to bolster their backfield along with Marlon Mack. So okay, they're active and they're adding to their backfield, and that's in the Texans division. So pay attention, because you do need some depth at running back yourselves, Texans.
Yeah.
So that's out there.
So they're trying to get some depth, I'm guessing. That's a depth move for them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Jamaal Charles has given up his hopes of returning to an NFL roster. He's going to sign a one-day deal with the Chiefs and then retire.
Speaking of retiring, did you see who retired earlier this week?
I might have missed it. I don't know.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh, Seabass. Yeah, yeah.
He said now, you know, he's spent 19 years in the NFL kicking and drinking, and now he's going to retire, and he won't be kicking, but he'll still be drinking.
Highest paid kicker in NFL history.
First-round draft pick, right?
Yeah, first-round pick. 19 years in the league, highest paid kicker of all time, and he said he's now going to become a taxi driver. And they're like, what?
What?
And he goes, he was just basically saying, I'm going to shuffle my daughters all around and chauffeur them wherever they need to go.
I thought he was going to legit be an Uber driver.
I'm like, Family Guy, is that including Molly's and the whatever you were putting in drinks at Florida State and otherwise? Or is that now that you've settled down a little bit?
Dude is 6'1", 260.
I was going to say, regardless of whether he's settled down or not, he's settled in a little bit. Comfort zone wise, because he looked like who's the
Randy Bullitt?
No, who was
fat
the big,
kicker?
Well, worse.
He's
than
the
that,
original fat kicker.
Yeah, but who was the big quarterback that bounced around all over from Kentucky?
Oh, yes.
That was like 275.
Like the river.
Yes, he was playing the arena football league and everything. Oh. He looked like the kicking version of that.
What was his damn name? Jared Lorenzen.
Yep, Jared Lorenzen.
Jared Lorenzen. I didn't even get
right.
Fat quarterback typed into Google
fat
before.
Fat QB, Kentucky. And it came
Jared
up.
Lorenzen. Yeah. There was one year I was looking at Janikowski's, you know, stats. Believe it or not, because I'm that big of a dork. But there was one year where he punted too. He had some punting going on, which I've always wondered. Like, couldn't you save a little money and just be like, dude, just go punt too?
I think back in the day, there were multiple guys that could punt and kick.
But now they got punter specialists, and there was a punter draft, I think, fourth round this year.
This year, yep. Mm-hmm.
And apparently somebody lost their mind when it happened. I forget who it was, but one of the announcers was going crazy.
I saw that, and also the Buccaneers tried another kicker, this time not in a earlier round, but in not like the fourth dumb. Round. And they're like, the dude you drafted the last time has been cut by four other NFL teams after you spent a first-round draft pick, I think, or a second-round draft pick on a kicker.
The beauty of kicking, though, is that you can play forever.
No doubt.
Morton
backup
Anderson
quarterback
kicked until he was 44.
And kicker are the ideal positions in the NFL. You never get hit. You play more golf than you attend practice.
Janikowski was drafted in 2000. He retired after 2018. He played 18 years.
What was his
in the NFL?
Or how much money his career earnings?
That's a good question.
We were talking about all these different, like Robbie Gould is at an impasse with the Niners and wants more money, but he wants to be traded now. And we were talking about all these kickers in the last couple of weeks. The gold standard.
Holy bleep.
Seabass. Sebastian Janikowski. Go ahead, lay it on him.
His career earnings. Now, mind you, the most he ever made in a year was $6.5 million. And that's when he got...
That's good coin for a kid.
He got a $1.5 million signing bonus, a $1.3 million option bonus, $710,000 in incentives, along with his $3 million salary. And $3.6 is the highest he's ever made as far as just base salary. But he made $6.5 million in 1 year. Total career earnings. What would you guess? More or less than $50
million? Less. No.
More.
Oh, my God.
Barely. He made $53.2 million kicking a football, being fat, and drinking beer. That was his career. The crazy thing is you can last 18 years in the NFL as a kicker, and then you go down as an all-time leading scorer for whatever franchise you kicked for. It's like the Raiders have had some prolific scorers in their time, and it's like, Sebastian Janikowski, all-time leading scorer. Like, most franchise leading scorers are the kickers.
You made almost as much money as David Carr in your career, and you actually contributed more, but all you did was kick the ball.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's amazing.
It's pretty wild.
Believe me, he was no slouch. I mean, when you needed a money kick or a long distance kick, Dude, as much as he partied and did his
thing, he had a leg on him.
He came big and came up big in the clutch, and boy, he could kick from distance.
I was trying to see. I'll look at. Oh, here we go. Career scoring leaders. Are you ready?
Yes.
So George Blanda is second.
He was Barry Warner's roommate at some point, wasn't he?
George Blanda. Yeah. George Blanda is second in leading the Raiders in scoring with 863 points. Number one, Sebastian Janikowski. Do you know how many points? Almost a full 1,000 more points than second place. He has scored 1,799 points for the Raiders.
Wow.
Second on the list at 863 is George Blanda.
That's amazing.
That's ridiculous.
And the all-time leading scorer in league history is Vinatieri, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah.
I will look that up at the break.
I think he got that last week. Or, I mean, last year. Okay. Before we head to the break and wrap up hour number one, I want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pasikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. They're locally owned and operated, and they're fully dedicated to making sure you get the best rate for your energy needs, whether it be for your business or for your home and your family. It's simple. When you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you don't get a recorded automated system. That you get a human being, and they ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and how they can get the best rate possible for you and your family or your business. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, and they provide energy for homes and businesses at a top level at the best rates possible. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up and choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and it decreases your carbon footprint. And along the way, they're going to be honest with you. They're going to be a company that you can trust. And in the cases where there's another company in town that can beat their rates, they're going to let you know because they never want to try and screw you over or pull the wool over your eyes. You may not go with them now, but you may go with them later because you remember that they were honest with you from the get-go. Check out InfuseEnergy.com as well. But again, 844-INFUSE2. You use the promo code ESPN975. You get a $25 bill credit right off the top, and you go from there. I switched 2 years ago. I've saved thousands. You can too. Check them out at Infuse Energy. Superstar,